Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Elder Dennis Chisenga is joining us now on the line to speak to us about biblical wisdom versus worldly independence. Now, the world often equates freedom with doing whatever makes us happy, but the Bible presents a countercultural perspective. True freedom, it teaches, comes from submission to God's will. This intriguing and perhaps controversial topic examines how biblical wisdom redefines liberty and challenges worldly notions of independence. I'm very, very interested in this conversation, and it's going to be a good one to wrap up our conversation for the entire week about biblical wisdom and its application in our modern times. My elder, good morning. Welcome back once again to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning to you. I'm so glad to be here.
Absolutely. And we've come to the end of our conversation, and I think this is going to be an interesting climax to the entire conversation. Let's speak about the Bible's definition of freedom and how it differs from the worldly perspective of it.
Well, as we look at this concept of freedom, we should consider also how the world's perspective often differs from the biblical perspective. As you earlier alluded, the world often views freedom as the ability to do whatsoever we want and wherever we want.
Yeah.
But the Bible has a different view and a different picture of what this of freedom is all about. When we go to the Bible and we read the scripture, we'll find that the Bible defines freedom as the ability to live a life that is pleasing to God, free from the bondage of sin. So when you're free from sin, then you have freedom according to what God wants us to be. Romans chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says, you have been set free from sin and you have become slaves to righteousness.
Mm.
So in contrast, the world's perspective on freedom emphasizes on personal autonomy and self-reliance. That's what the world teaches. But the Bible teaches that true freedom is submission of our will to God's will, rather than from doing whatsoever makes us happy. Because suppose what makes us happy leads us to death or leads us into sin, leads us into violence. It will make you happy, but it will leave you damaged, to leave also the people around you damaged. So freedom really, which is true, is freedom which sets us free from all manner of evil. Mm-hmm. And that is the only freedom which can be found in God and God alone. Sure.
I think it's an interesting one, because people don't understand how you can be free within the confines of God's law, within the confines of God's will. Even that statement from that verse that you shared earlier, that you become slaves to righteousness, that connotation of slavery already, it's like, am I free or am I a slave? What's happening here? Do I still have a choice? And I was asking earlier on that to the listeners, I was saying, if it is God who puts in me the desire to obey him, even the even just the desire to do the right thing comes from him, am I really free in that sense, or am I still in some way being influenced by him if my decision is based on his influence? Do I make that decision freely, or is he the one who makes me make that decision? I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yes. In fact, from what you've just said, in this world, there's nothing like I'm just on my own.
Yeah.
I'm not for the devil. I'm not for God.
Yeah.
You are on either one side.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more like God is offering us an option. What kind of slavery do you want to choose?
Yes.
The slavery in sin or being enslaved to doing what is right. Mm. So you discover that doing what is right is better than being a slave of sin. So God is a side of us obeying him, or what we can term slavery on God's side, isn't really slavery, as in God will offer us a leeway. We can choose to be with him or we can choose not to be with him.
Yeah.
But if we are to enjoy the benefits of being with him, then we need to obey him.
Yeah.
And this is where now some sort of misunderstanding of just the grammar and the intonation of slavery is coming into picture. Otherwise, it's not slavery as in you don't have freedom, but you have freedom within the confines of what God wants you to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. It kind of makes you think about, if you're not on the right train, if there's two trains and one is headed towards heaven and the other train is going the opposite direction, and you choose to go in the other train, but you're running towards heaven, towards the direction of heaven. But the train is heading the opposite direction. So there's only so much you can do. I think it's kind of a similar analogy to the fact that one way or another, you are serving someone. If it's not God, it's the devil. And the devil doesn't need you to call him by name and call him your God by name. As long as you're not calling on the name of Jehovah, he's fine with that. He doesn't care, because he doesn't have that love, the love for you that God does. God is the one who wants you to be specific and choose him because he loves you so much. So very, very interesting. Now, what does freedom in Christ mean, and how can we live it out? How do we experience that true freedom?
Yes, actually, when we talk about freedom in Christ, what we really want is not just to just say I'm free in Christ, but we want the experience of freedom in Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, this phrase of freedom in Christ is often used to describe the liberating power of the gospel.
Right.
But we can ask ourselves, what does it look like in practice to really make ourselves become free by the power of the gospel? Well, freedom in Christ means that we are no longer bound by the power of sin, but we are free to live a life that honors God. Okay. When we read Galatians 5 verse 1, the Bible says, "For freedom in Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." So God is more like saying, you have not had the freedom, you've not had choice, you've not had decisions to make, but now I've set you free. Now that you are free, choose to stand on what is right. And this is what is right. Stand firm for me. Stand with me. So living out this freedom in Christ involves surrendering our lives to Christ and allowing him to transform us from inside and out as well. So as we walk in freedom, we are empowered to live a life that is characterized by those characteristics of love stipulated in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That which is love, joy, peace, and self-control. I don't know if there's any human being in this world who don't want love, who don't want joy, and who doesn't want peace and self-control. Everyone looks for that.
Yeah.
But we can only find this when we are in Christ. So when he sets us free, he sets us free indeed.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. And the funny thing is, when we talk about freedom in Christ, some people would take it to mean that because we are free from the yoke of slavery to sin, that which is the transgression of the law. So that means we no longer care about the law. I'm free in Christ. And because of grace, I don't have to worry about the law anymore. I don't have to, trying to obey the law is legalism, and I'm trying to be like the Pharisees. So no, I don't care about the law anymore because I'm free in Christ. I'm free to be who I am, to do what I want to do. And that's the way that they translate the idea of freedom in Christ and the idea of grace to mean that now we have license to just do whatever we want because we are free, because we're forgiven, and because we're under grace.
In fact, from what you've just said, people really misunderstand what grace means. People think when you have grace, then you can do whatsoever you want and whenever you want. But we should look at it as grace is just favor which we don't deserve. We've been heading in a wrong way. Then now God says, this is not where you should head to. And if you continue heading in this direction, you will die. So I've blocked your way. Don't continue to walk like this. Now start walking in this path.
Yeah.
And the penalties for the crime of walking in this wrong path, I will pay for them through my death. So it does not mean that I should continue to disobey God, but I should walk in the right path. And that is obeying the law, because we cannot know what sin is minus knowing what the law is. Because how do you tell this is adultery, this is fornication, this is killing, if the law does not tell you?
Right.
So the law does not save us. In fact, it protects us from doing what is harmful. You know what's amazing is that even when you go to the courts of law, people will swear even with the Bible. When a president is being sweared in, you'll be sweared using the Bible.
Yeah.
And it means that there are principles there in Scripture which we need to follow. And these are right things which will help us and which will will guide us. So grace does not necessarily mean that we should continue disobeying God, but God is offering another chance for us to do what is right.
Yeah, yeah, I love that. Now, how do Christians balance personal autonomy with surrendering to God's will, knowing that God gave us, you know, freedom of choice? We have the choices. We have the freedom to choose what we want to do. We have the freedom to obey him or not to obey him. How do we balance that freedom with surrendering to God's will? When I surrender, do I then give up that freedom? Do I let go of that? How does that work?
In fact, as we continue to discuss on freedom, because of our view of freedom, freedom seems to be a very complex topic, and somehow it may seem opposite to what we have, because now we have human rights and whatsoever we think about.
Yeah.
But like you've asked to say, how can we balance our desire for personal autonomy or personal will, personal choice,
yeah,
with the need to surrender God's will? And and this tension is what is at the heart of Christian life. So balancing autonomy and surrender involves, number one, recognizing that our freedom is not an end in itself, but rather a means to an end.
Mm.
So having freedom does not mean I am free on my own, but it is a way which leads us to a right path when we have freedom. It's more like you have been given options to choose when you have freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you are being forced to head in one direction, but freedom comes to give us more options.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 6 verse 12, the Bible says, you say, I am allowed to do anything. That is the New Living Translation. But not everything is good for you. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Mm-hmm. So it's not everything. The fact that we have freedom does not mean we can choose everything which we want because we have our own will.
Yeah.
But it means that we must desire the best, and we cannot learn the best from the world. It is God who offers the best. So we must learn also, number two, to surrender our desires and plans to God. We must trust that his ways are higher than our ways.
Mm.
As Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 tells us that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And this is what the Lord declares: as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Mm.
So why should we surrender our will or our freedom to God so that he makes decisions for us?
Yeah.
He makes what is right for us. It's because he knows the future from the beginning. He knows what is ahead of us. We don't know. He is wise. He's almighty. He's holy. We are unholy. We are unwise. And if we trust our own instincts and our own desires, Proverbs 16 verse 25 says, there's a way which seems right to a man, but the end is death.
Mm.
So if we just say, okay, I'm on my own, you end up in doom. You think it's freedom, well, it's freedom which you're leading yourself in. So as we surrender to God's will, we can experience a deeper sense of freedom. And it gives us a purpose, because we know, this one I'm trusting, it will lead me into what is good and what is beneficial for myself. The fact is that we are not so wise to trust ourselves with our very own selves.
Yeah, very true. That's very, very true. What are some of the dangers that you can think of pursuing happiness over holiness? I think that's where a lot of us get caught up, because we're chasing happiness. So when we chase happiness over holiness, what are the dangers? How can we avoid them? And also, do those two have to be separate, happiness and holiness? Does one have to be opposite to the other?
Uh-huh. As we consider the concept of freedom, it's important that we examine the dangers of prioritizing happiness over holiness. And one thing which people should understand is that happiness is just a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You, the hormones, the endorphins are in your body. You feel excited. You are happy. But moments later, reality sets in. And now you see that, okay, I was happy because I drank some alcohol in me. I was happy because we were having fun in places which I know God has not ordained for me to be in. But I was happy. But at the end of being so happy, I find myself have damaged my body. I've misrepresented God, and in the end, I've injured even those who are around me, and I'm just all alone. So pursuing happiness over holiness can lead to, number one, a self-centered life. And it can also lead to superficial faith, faith which is not, which does not have roots in our lives, where we just have a form of godliness, but deny the power of God thereof. In Matthew 16, verse 25 to 26, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So what we are getting is that when we prioritize happiness, we can become disillusive, and we'll end up being disappointed when our expectations are not met in the path we are heading. So to avoid these dangers, we must cultivate a deep understanding of the character of God and his plans for our lives. You know, sometimes because of what the world offers, because of what the world deems happiness, we may feel as if we are left behind. And sometimes we may seem as if we are old-fashioned.
Yeah.
But we must understand that whatsoever the devil offers out there is not meant for our good. You know, he will entice us with what is good only to trap us. Then reality will set in where now the devil would deal with us and lock us to an extent that we do not have the power to let loose of where the devil has taken us.
Sure.
But we can trust God and his plans and have patience enough. The Bible says in Psalm 35, verse 5, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So we can wait on the Lord, and he will be with us. There's one verse I like, one of my favorite verses, Nahum 1, verse 7, says, the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in him. So when we trust God, he will be our stronghold in the days of trouble. But now when we trust the devil and our own pursuit for happiness, who will be our stronghold in the day of trouble? Because we will not always have happiness.
True.
There are days of sorrow and sadness. Who will comfort us if all what we wanted was was happiness and not holiness? So it's better that we pursue the way of the Lord, for we will reap in time of harvest. Sure.
I love that. And the thing about trusting in God to help us with that, because he's a God with he's got a vantage point from where he's standing, he can see the future, he can see the end from the beginning. And so when he gives us joy and happiness, he does it in a way that's not going to have any negative outcomes, no negative side effects later on. There's not any negative, any casualties for us to get to that joy or happiness. Whereas my own view, my own pursuit, when I'm using my own human eyes, my limited sight and my limited viewpoint, or even worse, the devil's, is that I don't care who else is going to get hurt in the process. Even if, even if I'm careful about who is not hurt right now, but my actions could hurt someone in the future, which I can't see because I'm only human. God, who can see the entire universe, and he can see from Adam all the way to the last person who will ever come into this world, he can see how my actions will affect all that. So it's better to trust in him because of that, because of the fact that he knows everything, including the future. Now, as we're wrapping up, how can embracing biblical freedom lead to a more fulfilling and more purposeful life? Because at the end of the day, that's what we're looking for.
Well, biblical freedom, when we embrace it in its totality as it is, it leads to a deeper sense of purpose and a deeper sense of meaning to life. As we discover our identity in Christ, and as we discover our calling in Christ, it helps us to have a purpose. You know why people even commit suicide? It's because they don't know their purpose on this earth. They think them and the rock, they're just the same thing. They don't have the answer to why are they existing. But when you have an identity in Christ and you embrace the calling of Christ, you will have a purpose in this world. And when you have a purpose, it means your life will have meaning. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are God's handwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God has predestined us to be with Christ, and he has a purpose to why we exist. This is why even the theory of evolution does not make sense, because If you believe in evolution, then you mean it's just an accident. There's no purpose which you have. You are more like just came from without. But when you understand that God created me, and I'm in this world for a reason.
Yeah.
If he wanted, he could have created me into a stone or a tree. But he created me into a human being in his own image. And having that in my mind helps me to have a purpose in this world.
Amen.
Then apart from that, embracing biblical freedom also enables us to live a life that is characterized by those aspects which we talked about in Galatians, joy, peace, and contentment, like we talked about the other day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be content, we'll be happy with what we have. We'll always have joy and peace. And if you go into issues to do with health, when somebody has joy, it even adds more to their well-being, in their life expectancy.
Yeah.
When we have peace in our hearts, it even improves our health, our interaction with others. Then as we walk in biblical freedom, God empowers us to live a life that honors God and that brings joy to his name. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 says, "So whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it for the glory of God." So
Amen.
Ultimately, we can say embracing biblical freedom leads to a more fulfilling and a more purposeful life. And as we discover the joy and freedom that comes from living in harmony with God's will, our heart will become at peace. And as we walk in this world, we walk with courage, with positivity, knowing that I'm not alone. And the choices which I've made, I'm surrendering them to God.
Mm.
If he does not approve them, I must obey because he knows what's better for me. He created me. He knows what's better for me. It's more like a car. A car, you take it to somebody who does not have any idea.
Yeah.
In fact, the best person who can repair your car is the one who made that car.
Yes.
And when we take it to any other, you can less be assured that it won't be the way it's supposed to be because they don't know where to touch. They don't know where exactly to get it working so well and exactly. So we can trust God with everything, our choices, our desire, our freedom, because he created us. He knows what's best for us. Sure.
Beautiful. My elder, thank you so much for your time this week. And for very beautiful conversations that we've had about the wisdom of God, the wisdom in the Bible, and how we can practically apply that into our lives, even in 2025, thousands of years after the Bible was written, it still remains relevant.
Sure.
Thank you so much. God bless you and have a wonderful Sabbath ahead.
Oh, God bless you too, and happy Sabbath too.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.